remaining standing, let us pray. God, you are worthy. You are worthy for us to put our faith in and to trust. And yet so many of us, myself included, don't. Would you speak to us through your word today, through the life of Moses? Would you teach us about the gospel and how we can come to a deeper faith in you? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. It's great to see you here. Thanks for coming to church today. You may know that we're a couple of weeks away from the Olympics. And I have to be honest with you, my wife and I, our favorite part of the Olympics is not the amazing events, although we do follow it closely. We love the up-close and personals that NBC does. Isn't it kind of fun? I mean, you hear the stories of somebody who started when they were like 2 years old, and they had no arms and legs, and then they got cancer, and then they lost both their eyes, but they got up at 3 o'clock in the morning at age five, and they've been training for about 27 years, and they're going to go for it and have their moment in the sun, and you're just kind of mesmerized. Or you meet their families, and they're just kind of cool, isn't it? It brings the Olympics to life, right? I mean, in all seriousness, what is it about athletes to put their bodies through what they put them through? To get up at the times they get up to train, to give everything for absolutely, usually for most of them, unless you're Michael Phelps, no financial reward. No promise of a career of being on a Wheaties box. Why are they doing this? They have a vision of a greater reality. They've placed a value in something so far greater that they can endure any pain. This is the kind of faith we're going to be talking about today in terms of Moses. Why do some people say no to self, turn away from sin? And we'll talk about this later. We love sin. I love sin. Are willing to sacrifice for Christ. What is it about their vision and their faith that's happened to them? They're saying, you know what? It's all worth it. Getting up on Sundays. Whatever it is. Why is it? You see, we're in a series about faith. What is it? 79% of people in America have a belief in the God of the Bible, so they say. But is belief real faith? Is there a difference? Our definition last week when we looked at the life of Abraham was that faith is belief in action. You're on the end of a cliff and you're rappelling off it. I believe that rope's going to hold me, I can go down. Well, really, why don't you put your belief into action and have some faith and go over the cliff and see. How do we move from belief as a culture to authentic faith? Abraham taught us last week that you have to have a personal encounter with the God of the universe to move from belief to faith. You actually have to know God. He actually breaks into our worlds and says, I want to make you a son or daughter. We talked about that last week. We talked about how this barrier of sin, our own self-will, we want to be in control, we want to call the shots, or maybe it's just our ignorance, keep us from God. But when we turn to Him and say, God, I want to know, break into my life, come and take away that sin barrier, I'm going to trust Christ and what He did on the cross, I'm going to invite you in by your Holy Spirit. Come into my life. Boom, He comes in and we can have an encounter with Christ. We also learned from Abraham last week that faith is about seeing what God sees and doing what God does. It's not just, okay, get out of jail free card. Oh, I'm forgiven now. I'm going to heaven. It's actually stepping out of our kingdom and saying, wow, I want to see the world as you see it, God. I want to see what you're doing. I want to know what you're about. I want to get your worldview on suffering and pain and success and joy and money and sex and all those things. So we talked about faith, an encounter with Christ, and then beginning to have God's view of the world. Well, today we're looking at Moses. Everybody knows Moses, right? Moses was the guy who was born in Egypt as the Israelites were there. Egyptians were getting threatened by the Israelites. There are too many of them. So Pharaoh says, look, kill all the young boys. But this family said, no, we don't want to kill our son Moses. So they put him into a little basket and put him down the Nile River. And sure enough, who finds Moses? Pharaoh's daughter. Pharaoh's daughter gets a little pass. He's not going to make her kill her son. So she adopts him. She adopts Moses. And Moses grows up, going to Calvert, then to Gilman, then to Northwestern. The best of the best. Right? He grows up in a privileged family. Not like the Hebrews, but actually as an Egyptian. Feel free to answer. It might be for me, actually, if it is. Oh, Dee Dee, welcome back from church. For those of you who are new, Dee Dee is my administrative assistant and my assistant. Dee Dee is so great. If that was for me, and we can talk later. God call you. Say, get to the point in your sermon, right? I love it. So Moses grows up and he gets older, and then he sees his people being oppressed, and he's got a decision to make. What's he going to do? Is he going to say, wait a minute, I love comfort. I love the privileged life. I'm the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Or am I going to follow God and go with his plan? And, well, we're reading about him 3,000 years later. Let's just take a pause here for a minute. Because, you know, faith is trusting that actions follow belief. And we all believe that that phone can be turned off. But will we have faith that action will proceed? I love it. Welcome back, Dee Dee. So good. She's been in Maine for a month, so she doesn't have too much of our sympathy. So here's the question. What can we learn about Moses? Man, how do we recover this sermon? Open your Bibles, open your bulletin, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Amazing text. First, what do we learn from Moses' faith? This great decision he's got to do. Is he going to follow God and Christ's call? Or is he going to kind of just stay in this life of privilege and prestige? First, faith gives us access to great power. That's the first point. So if you're taking notes, faith gives us access to great power. Look at verse 24 and 25. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. Something happened in Moses. He said, you know what? God's way is so much greater, and following God and living a life of faith is so much greater than all that the world can offer. I don't care what it's going to cost me. After tasting the Lord and seeing what was ahead, there was a power to say no to sin. Now stop for a second. How many of you like to sin? I love to sin. I love the acceptable sins like gluttony. Brent Hippert and I kind of partaked that last night, and it was great. Brent, thanks for dinner. I love gluttony. I love being first. I love, you know, we have this great video we show to our leaders that we're developing, this You, Me, Brian Regan video. You know, you kind of wait for somebody's lips to stop moving and finish their story, and then you top their story. You know, you kind of be like, oh, you, then me. Like, see the difference? You and me? Oh, yeah, you went to Maine for a month? I'm going to Nantucket for 2 months on vacation. We love being first. We love giving our resume, telling what schools do. We just love it. And then there's lust. Now, how many of us want to stop sinning? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. Where does the power come from to stop sinning? Because if I give you a message, hey, go out there and be a better person, that might last for about 20 minutes after you leave church, and then you'll go back to being who you were, sinning like me. It takes incredible power to stop sinning. How about, power to give up possessions or popularity? How about power when you're at the top of the pecking order in your high school and you see all the kids who are real losers in your high school and you say, you know what? I'm going to serve them and make them great. I'm going to give up all the popularity of high school. Or when you get the, you get the promotion, and you know you don't deserve it. Someone else got, you say, you know what? Let them have it. They're more deserving. I know I'm giving up 100 extra grand. but I really want to honor them. They really deserve it. Where does the power to serve and do the right thing come from? It doesn't come from in here. We'll choose ourselves every single time. You see, Moses had a faith in God. And it says in verse 26 where it came from. That made him say, you know what? Sin doesn't look good to me anymore. Here's my point. When you taste God, and you get a taste of the kingdom, look what verse 26 says. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than all the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. When he had a vision and a picture of what was to come, he was like, you know what? I don't need to be first. It doesn't matter what people think of me. I don't need to lead with my resume. My taste for sin and lust and pornography or greed or money all of a sudden becomes less. It's just what it is. You see, faith enables us to have an experience with God and His kingdom and a vision of what's to come in the future life that makes the rest of this world go, you know what? I don't need to cling to it anymore. When my kids are fighting over a doll, you know how the best way to get them to stop fighting over a doll? I got four daughters. They always fight over their dolls. Hey, kids, who wants some ice cream? Anybody want to go to Baskin Robbins? Yeah! They run out of the house. They stop fighting about the dolls. Who cares about dolls when you're offering them ice cream? Who cares about money when God offers all the satisfaction, joy, contentment, and security that you think money will buy you? Wow. You see, faith in Christ offers this amazing power to say no to sin, to become and let go of all the petty things we hold on to and become the people God's calling us to be. Secondly, we learn that faith gives us an incredible vision to persevere. Look at verse 27. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. Anybody here, and I recognize we have some Christians here, some people who are checking out the Christian faith here, and some people who have no idea what they believe here, but let's just level the playing field. Has anybody personally been an eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection here today? Anybody? I just want to make sure that there was nobody raising their hand behind me. None of us have seen God, right? What do you mean Moses persevered because he saw him who is invisible? What does this mean? We know that up in the mountain, Moses never saw God. He had to turn his back and there was a cloud and all that. You see, faith gives us the ability to see God and what He's doing in life. To see God and what He's doing in life. Here's my favorite story on this. During World War II, Corrie ten Boom and her sister Betsy were aiding and abetting Jews getting out of Germany. They were arrested. They were Christians. They were arrested and sent to prison. Betsy was an amazing Christian. She could see God working everywhere. And even in this prison, she'd say, we're going to give thanks for everything. And Corrie was so frustrated. How can you give thanks? We're in prison. We're being sought. This is crazy. Look at these fleas. I am not giving thanks for the fleas that I sleep in on this bed. And Betsy said, I am going to give thanks even for the fleas. I'm going to trust that God knows exactly where we are, and He got even the details, even the fleas. Betsy ends up dying in prison, going to be with the Lord. Corrie ten Boom, when she's released, finds out that the only reason they could have Bible studies in their dormitory, that they were able to hide medicines that were smuggled in and be able to freely minister to the other 700 women in their dorm, because the guards didn't want fleas. And so they'd leave them totally alone. And Betsy had the faith to say, wait a minute, I'm going to trust God, even in the midst of hell, that He's got the minute details of our lives in the palm of His hand. You see, you start walking with Christ and you start developing His mind and heart. The Holy Spirit, you get sensitive to the leadings of His Holy Spirit and you think, God, what are you doing here? What are you doing in my school, in my work, in my family? And sometimes He checks. We were going to make a decision a couple of months ago here at the church and it just didn't seem right. We checked God's word, we prayed about it, and all of a sudden it was just clear, God's not doing that here. And we had a sense that we could see what God was doing and who God is and how He's working in our church. Sometimes he checks through Scripture, which is why as a church we're reading Scripture this summer, so he'll speak to us. Sometimes he checks through circumstances. I'll give you a hint. We're about to develop on a huge, exciting building program here at the church. God's going to speak very loudly if you all don't catch the vision and want to join us in giving our financial resources to it. It'll be a very clear word from God. We'll see what he's doing. If we can't raise the money, we hold it very loosely. Sometimes he checks through his Holy Spirit. Sometimes he checks through circumstances, through other people. But here's the point. Moses walked with God, and he persevered because he could see God in what he was doing. He had an assurance. And for some of you who've been walking with Christ for 30 or 40 years, you know exactly what I mean. You've become more and more attuned to the Spirit and the Lord in situations. I'll give you one last example. I'm just going to preach today. I feel like I'm going to go off on my outline. We had this amazing weekend, or week, with the bishops in Colorado. Amazing. Some of these bishops are so godly. One of the bishops spoke into another bishop's life, kind of called him out on something, and this bishop heard it and received it. It was so amazing to watch guys being humble. I was very moved by that. So as I left and I was flying home, I was like, Lord, I want to be able to kind of have your view of things. And sure enough, on the plane, I saw a flight attendant. And I just had a sense that this flight attendant had some things, some issues or whatever. So I said, God, I'm open. If you want me to share your love with this flight attendant, I don't know what you're doing, but I know that you love her and that you care about her. And if you want me to share the gospel with her, I'll do it. So I got up and stood by the bathroom and we started talking and talked about kids and blah, blah, blah. 45 minutes later, I got to share the gospel with her. She's from Northern Virginia. I encouraged her to go to a church, a gospel church down there, a great church down there. And it was like God's like, it was just a sense of, Dave, more and more, if you're open, I will use you to share my love and grace in places where you never thought. I got to tell you, I could see God working in this woman's life as I was talking to her. And when this kind of stuff starts happening in your life and you get his vision, maybe it's, you know, serving like I just did. Maybe it's, you know, how to use your finances. Maybe it's about what college to go to. Maybe it's about how to raise your kids. And you see God working, I'm telling you, you will persevere through anything, even through fleas in a concentration camp. Faith gives us a power to say no to sin. Faith gives us a perspective to see what God's doing. And then thirdly, faith protects us from our greatest enemy. Very strange verse. Look at this. Verse 28. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. This is a strange verse. Duh. God comes and says, I'm going to kill all the firstborn. And if you don't want me to kill your son, just take some lamb's blood and put it on your door. Who's not going to do that? Right? You have a son and God literally comes and you hear him verbally saying, put blood on your door and you'll be okay. That doesn't take a lot of faith because you've got a threat right there, right? Okay. Here's what God says. There's another Passover lamb. One who came who's perfect, whose blood can actually cover you when death the destroyer comes by. Here's all I want you to do is I want you to put your faith in that blood and trust that blood that will cover you when you die. Very simply. Because you are going to die. Latest statistics show 1 out of 1 people will die. Say that all the time. Very simply, just trust in the blood of the Passover lamb and you'll be scot-free. You'll live forever. You know what we do? We say, no, 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 no. I don't want to believe that. It's too easy. I'm going to work out my salvation. I'm going to trust that I can be a good person and the destroyer will go over me. I'm going to trust that I can go to church, or if I give more money or pray, or if I follow the rules, or if I belong to the right political party, or if I have the right stance on all these political issues, then God, the destroyer, when he comes, will save me. You see, what was the faith Moses was exercising? The faith of saying, I will not try and save myself. I will trust God and his provision to save me from that which is coming, death. This takes enormous faith in American culture because we've all been weaned that you need to work hard and make it happen. And if things are going bad, it's because you're not trying hard enough. And if things are going bad with God, it's because you're not working hard enough or praying hard enough or reading your Bible enough. That is not the gospel. That is not the essence of the Christian faith. The essence of the Christian faith is there was one greater than Moses. Let's be honest, Moses wasn't a saint. He's being held up because of his faith. But if we kind of say, hey, go out and be like Moses, we'll all be in trouble. There's no power in being like Moses. But Moses, as Deuteronomy 18 tells us, points us ahead to a greater prophet, Jesus, who, what did he do? Gave up the riches of the world, turned his back on the riches of the world to be obedient to the Father, right? Who also persevered when the king wanted to kill him. And the king was going to kill him. He persevered in faith. And ultimately gave himself up as the Passover lamb. As the Passover lamb. So that we, let's go back in reverse order, could have blood that covers us from the destroyer. We never have to fear death. So that we could have that wall of sin be taken away, because the sin could be placed on Jesus and now there's no wall between us and God. So that we could then experience God, see Him in this world, and then follow Him into the next. Here's the point. The gospel is Jesus has done all the work. Jesus had perfect faith. Jesus lived the life you should have lived and the life I should have lived. And then He died on a cross to pay for all the things we've done wrong. And He says to us, look, if you don't have the kind of faith that is persevering, if you don't have the kind of faith that has the power to say no to sin, some of you, let's just be honest, are in bondage to sin, as I can be in bondage to sin. If you don't have enough faith to get over that, what do? Get depressed. Oh my gosh, I'm not good enough. I wish I had more faith. No, we say, Jesus, I'm going to put my faith in You and trust You to give me the power and give me the faith to transform my heart that I can be like Moses. And so the end of the message is not be like Moses. It's will we have the simple faith like Moses did to trust God's plan of salvation? And this is the hardest place to have faith. Yes, we need faith to trust God for our futures when we lose our jobs. Yes, we need to have faith to trust God with our kids when they're walking away and killing themselves in rebellion. Yes, we need to trust God when we're going through hard physical ailments, when we're in tough marriages, when we don't feel like keeping our marriage vows, when whatever it is, we have to learn to trust God. How do we do that? By first placing our faith in Christ, who has perfect faith, in Christ's power and His ability to give us that faith that we need. Which is why we're always talking about here at Resurrection, do you know Christ? We're constantly asking ourselves as Christians, am I growing in Christ? Am I trusting in Christ's power and presence in my life to overcome sin and provide the perseverance I need to endure my life another day? And we're constantly saying to people who show up and visit, hey, listen, we're all about Christ here. Because we're actually not going to trust that our good works are going to be able to do the doorpost thing and protect us. We're going to put our trust in God's plan of salvation and say, Jesus, would You come into our lives and give us that faith and help us to walk and follow You the way Moses did? Let me close with this. I would say Moses had no regrets. He had no regrets for saying no to prestige and privilege and popularity. Because he received power that he never knew he could have. He could persevere through things that he never thought he could persevere. And ultimately, when the day came, he knew and had an assurance that he'd be with God forever. My sense is the Olympic athletes have no regrets for the years and years of training when they win the gold medal. It's worth it. Do you need that assurance today if you're a Christian? Faith in Christ is worth it. It's real and active and living. There's a power available to you as you taste Christ and get a picture of His kingdom that will allow you to say no to sin. Get to know Christ and it'll start to happen more and more. There's a power available to you to help you persevere through whatever life circumstance you're going through right now. Christ will give you that vision and power to persevere. And finally, there's the power to, well,
Faith in Christ will give you the assurance you need so that when you face death one day, you can have with full, sure confidence of Moses and the Israelites that it will pass over and you'll be with Christ forever. Let's pray.
Father, I'm trying to convince and talk about how faith is not blind belief. Faith is not adherence to a set of rules or an affinity to a particular church style. Lord, thank you for Moses, who so experienced you, who saw you at work, and had a vision of the kingdom to come, that he was able to join you in your work, even though it meant suffering in the short term. God, would you open our eyes in the days to come as a church? Help us to see you and follow you, that we might have the power to say no to sin, the power to persevere in difficult situations, and the assurance and the hope that you are with us both now and in the life to come. Lord, give us that faith as we turn to you and receive you and follow you in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.